as we continue to just quiet our hearts and our minds for the what a reminder that there are many people every day that we pass, and only you truly hear the brokenness. And God, I pray that we realize that they need you every day we pass them. And Father, I pray that we begin to be sensitive, we begin to not to pass them, we begin to slow down, we begin to look for ways to converse with them. And Father, as we even study tonight, we realize the important transition that Paul is trying to teach. And Lord, we just pray that you'll speak through your word tonight, that we'll be receptive as we sit quietly before you at your feet. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. We are going through a few of the verses tonight. To get all the way down through this is quite a lot in the latter part of chapter 3. But we do know that Paul is winding down his thesis of how everyone needs the Savior. And he went through the Jews, he went through the Gentiles, and he went through the brokenness of the world and how they have rejected Christ in the latter part of chapter, or mid part of chapter 1 and verse 18 and following, and how they, because they rejected him, God gave them up to the depravity of their mind, and how everyone who is ever born needs Christ. And so he's again, the original readers in Rome at this time this letter was written were those who needed to hear the transition. And this is the whole, I believe, the whole crux of the early church ministry. Their mission field was to the religious people who didn't understand the transition of change, didn't understand that God was changing his way of, by accepting the sacrifices as righteousness to accepting only his Son as the final righteousness. And that was the theme of their whole ministry. Every one of the apostles, every one of the disciples in the early church, that was their hardest hurdle to jump. And so when they rejected him, then of course they went to the Gentiles. And that was the second hardest hurdle for them to jump, because the Jews and the Gentiles didn't mingle. The Jews were the chosen one. The Jews were the ones that were supposed to have the promise. And so them now allowing the Gentiles to have it, they just couldn't get that. So Paul, in his wisdom, and also inspired by the Spirit of God, wrote them a letter that showed them how wrong they were. And as we see this, all of this is really coming down in verse 19, going back to chapter 1, verse 17. Chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." That is his thesis title. That is his umbrella title of this section. The just will live by faith, not by sacrifice, not by old system, not by what nationality you are, not by anything. So he boils it down to at the end of verse 20, and it's interesting because that verse says, "Therefore, everything that was said, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified." By the deeds of the law, no one is going to make it into heaven. No one, because God has now created something different in his sight. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." And Paul, we'll see as we go down in chapter 7 and 8, Paul says it's the law that shows me how much of a sinner I am and how much I do need Christ. So he's bringing us down to a very end. And one of the greatest, I think, phrases that we probably just read right through, it begins in verse 21. "But now." But now. There is going to be a major shift in everything that the world knows about salvation in those two words, "but now." Paul made his argument. He said it very plainly, put it out there very clearly. He ended this section with the idea that no one in the flesh will be justified in God's sight. The law gives us the knowledge of how sinful we are. It doesn't give us the righteousness we need, but now. And I'm going to tell you what, you and I have hope in this world because of but now. You and I have something to look forward to because of the but now. And all those who have died and gone on before us, we can clearly say they are in heaven because of the but now. Those are two words, man. You gotta, that is amazing with those two words. Because now he's going to go on and explain. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, who all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Man, that is huge. If you're ever getting an opportunity to talk to somebody, and you're able to talk to them about salvation, you're able to talk to them about maybe I'll get to heaven, I hope my good outweighs the bad, and all of that. Those two verses, 20 and 21 and 22, are the two verses that will transition somebody to think they're good enough to somebody realizing they're lost. Because you can't convince anybody today about the Jew and Gentile deal. They don't understand that. They don't get that. But what they do understand is the realm of the not being justified by doing the law, by doing right, but only by, and it says in verse 22, is by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Now this is an interesting phrase. Think about this verse for a minute. Before we get into the very familiar verse, 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, think about the worst person that you ever heard of. The worst sinner in the world. There's no difference. And I can remember back in the day, I can remember a story when James Dobson was really still on Focus on the Family and still doing radio shows, and he interviewed Ted Bundy. That man was a monster. He was a rapist. He was a murderer. He was a monster. And James Dobson said, this man is going to be in heaven. And I can remember the just the arguments. No way. There's no way God would let somebody like that into heaven. There's no difference. There's no difference. So when you look at the worst of the worst, that person can be into heaven. But then you look at those people who think they're good enough and they don't get there. Because it's not about the good. It's about the faith in Jesus Christ given to all that believe, because there is no difference. That brings a lot of hope. That brings a lot of hope to people who are praying for individuals, who are praying for that lost, whatever, sibling, mom, dad, children, whatever, whoever it is, husband, wife. They're praying for that person and praying for that person. And so we need to keep praying. But in that realms of what that verse is stating, and again for 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You hear that verse all the time. But you never hear it defined in the way that Paul just explained it in verse 22. And I think we should always use verse 21, 22, and 23 together, not just pull that one verse out. Because it explains it in a way, the law's not going to get you, the faith in Christ is what's going to get you, and it's given to everyone. No difference. There's no difference in people. There's only difference in the outer appearance of people. But there's no difference on the inner appearance of people. Can you imagine that message being preached today? That everyone is equal on the inside. I mean, they wouldn't even preach today. It wouldn't work out there today. Because everybody thinks that there is a division of because of what they see on the outside. Because they look at the skin color, they look at the gender, they look at everything else, and they say, no, there's differences. God says, as far as I'm concerned, there is no difference. There is no difference because everyone has sinned and everyone needs my son. Plain and simple. I mean, I really don't think that the salvation, the gospel message is that difficult to talk about. And these verses explain that. Because All of us have sinned in verse 23. 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And again, we all know that. This is like salvation 101. We're all Christians. We know that this is what it takes to be saved. And I'm not studying this so carefully so that we gain more knowledge because we know it. I want to study this so that you have enough knowledge to share it. Don't be saved and hoard it. That is such a slap in the face to the Savior who hung on the cross. If you want to get saved and you got that and you don't find ways to share it, man, you have limited what God did for you. And I think it's very clear. Paul is saying, listen, it's all here. It's no differences. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We're justified freely. What does it cost you to be justified? What does it cost you to be saved? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do you ever hear of somebody saying they could work for salvation? Or they hope their works are good enough? How can you work for free? What is given freely, you can't work for. There's ways that you and I need to approach the generations today, because it is not the same as it was 10 years ago. It is not going out to a group of people who have a little bit of knowledge, who have a little bit of understanding. And it's not about those individuals who would come with some type or some form of, okay, yeah, I've heard that when I was younger. Listen, 20, 30-year-olds today, they haven't heard anything. They don't hardly know even what a Bible is, let alone who wrote it, who's the author of it. And you know, the problem with a lot of Christians today is we've built ourselves around such a perfect padded bubble that we're not even aware of that. We don't even know that. Unless you're out there in the front lines, you're out there working and among these people, you're not even aware that there's a generation that don't even know God wrote the Bible. And that's unheard of in my young days. That's unheard of. But it's interesting. It's out there. So how can we take this truth? How can we take this message? Remember, Paul was writing to Jews who knew. He was writing to the Gentiles that were there in the church and said, you know, by the freedom, by God's grace, you're here. By you're grafted in. They had an idea. We're dealing with people that have no clue. They don't even know they're lost. So when we deal with this and we study this and talk through this, those few verses, but now, you can't tell somebody that they've sinned and come short of the glory of God until you explain to them about being born in sin. Falling short, I'm not as bad as that guy. I don't sin. They don't even realize. We're not talking about. What amazes me is we can't do anything for. So that means we can't do anything to go against. It's not a do good, make it, do bad, don't. It's about the fact that we are born and we have a sinful nature, and by the grace and the free gift of Christ, we are forgiven. Doesn't matter, do bad, do good, that's irrelevant. I believe it's irrelevant until after you have accepted Christ. You're not going to know how to do the good that God wants without Christ in your heart and life. And so explaining that to individuals. And then it goes on in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. If you read that verse to a 12th grader today, they're going to say, huh? They have no idea what that propitiation, holy cow. That's one of the big religious jargons words that they don't even understand. When we go to and we understand and we bring this truth out, again, Paul's writing to a group of people who know. Paul's writing to a group of people who understand. So they would have understood and they would have got the fact, as Paul was saying, that the purpose of the law is basically to lead them to understand their own righteousness is nothing. So how do we make it? How do we get there? Paul now, and then he explains it as he's explaining here. Christ, God set forth, which he's explaining Christ of 24, in verse 25, whom is Jesus Christ, God has set forth to be the one that dies for us. He is the one who was set there to pay the price, the propitiation. He's the one who is going to pay for all. And so, again, we understand that, we know that, but it's through faith in his blood. Again, it's the faith in him to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin. Without the remission of sin, there is nothing. Without the shedding blood of Christ, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding blood of Christ, without God sending him to do that, you and I have no hope. You and I are going, doesn't matter how good you are, there's going to be a lot of good people in hell. And there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that you never thought should be there. Simply because why? Because it's the grace of God that makes a difference. It's not what we do. It's not who we are. One of the things that I have been working with, and some of the individuals, again, they use the same old about, well, you know, the hypocrites, and, you know, I see them on the work week, and they don't act like that in church, and they get this double standard going on, and I'm not going to church because of the people that are in it. I'm like, okay, but you're going to go to hell because you're looking at the people in the church. It's not about the people in the church, is it? It's about the Christ. It's about the relationship. It's not about the religion. I wish I had a dollar for every time in the last 2 years I said it's not about religion. It's about relationship and how I'm able to talk to people about this relationship. They understand, they know God, they hear that there's a God, but they don't have the relationship. And I truly believe, and you've heard me say it many times, we are going back, I believe, in our world. As the world begins to get worse and worse and worse and worse, we're going to go back to the same concept of messages. And I think the only message that we need to make sure we preach is what is written in these verses. Nothing else is going to matter. Because it's going to come to a point where it's about the relationship, not about man's division of worshiping God. And I'm not saying right and wrong, but man is the one who has chosen separate denominations, separate divisions, separate ways of worshiping the only true God. The right reasons, wrong reasons, they're all out there. But we need to get away from the reasons and get back to the reason we preach. The reason that we're still here on this earth. And I think that's to preach this gospel message. So God is the one who set it up. He set up his son to be, or his blood to be, the payment of the sin. And so when God did that, 26 says, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. He's the judge, he's the jury. And because he did what he did, he has earned the right, per se, to be the judge of all mankind. That means you and I can't look at the outside of a person and think, man, ain't no way. We have no right to judge the heart of anyone. We have no right to judge the outside of anyone. Because there's a lot of people who walk around in our world who may not look the part, but are the part a whole lot better than those who look the part. It's not about the outside of man. And I think that's the whole important understanding for you and I in this text. It's not about the outside. It's not about the skin. It's not about the dress. It's not about the hairstyle. It's not about the tats, the no tats. It's not about anything except the heart of the man. Because once God gets a hold of the heart, then things will fix up. Then things will change. But we come to a world that's out there dying. We come to a world that's out there hurting. And people need the Lord. We pass them by every day. And we walk by them because, like, oh, there is no way. They're not even going to understand. And we're missing. We would rather argue issues than we would to stop and talk Christ to someone, anyone on the street. And that, I think we've gone wrong. I think the church has missed it when we worry more about the details of Scripture instead of preaching the truth of Scripture. And the truth of Scripture is this: no difference between people Every one of us needs a Savior. Therefore, go out and witness to them. And how do we know this is true? Because as soon as you hear these gender terms, as soon as you hear this group of individuals, as soon as you hear that they've done all these things, you're cut off. You don't even talk to them. You don't want to deal with them. That's not right. God said he already gave them up in chapter 1. God said he already gave them up to the depraved of their mind, which they're going to think of all these things. God said in chapter 1 that they're going to become lovers of their own. They're going to want and desire their same kind. God said they were going to do that. It's after that God said, there's no difference. They need me. They need my son. So that's my challenge to me. And I trust your challenge to you. Don't be so defensive of saying want nothing to do with them. Don't be so defensive of saying, man, I ain't even talking to them. Give them Christ. They need Christ. Don't agree with what their lifestyle is. Don't agree with who they are and what they do. But you work with them enough to be able to share Christ with them. And when you do that, that's when everything changes. That's when God will come into the heart and the life, and that's when he changes the inside. And what happens when God changes the inside? Wow. What do you do for you? Well, I wasn't that bad. I was a good person, and then I got saved. Well, you're blessed. You're not the norm. But you know, it doesn't matter how good you were, because it's not about the good and the bad. It's about the heart given to him or not given to him. That's the difference. And I think we should be able to take that into a world that needs to hear him, needs to hear about him as much as we possibly can. So we're going to look at the rest of that sort of just all plays in there. Verse 27 simply says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by the law of works, nay, but by the law of faith. Paul said, what are you boasting because you're a Jew? He's going all the way back again to the Jew. Why are you boasting? Why do you think you have special rights? You know, we joke around, a lot of people say, well, you need to pray for me because you got special connections. I says, well, I'll pray for you, but there ain't nothing more special about my connection than your connection. And then, you know what that does? It gives me an opportunity to share about their connection. Everything they say, you can twist and use to share Christ, I guarantee it. You just got to be listening, you got to be creative, and you got to be ready to give some form of an answer. And it's interesting. I love to do that and been able to do that a lot. Paul says the same thing. Again, verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? He is not also of the Gentiles. Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. There is an established right and wrong that proves how wrong we are. Doesn't prove how good we are. Proves how wrong we are. And Paul again solidifies that. When we jump down into chapter 4, we're going to do that next week. Again, what shall we then say that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? He asked him a question. What do we say now about Abraham? So he's going to go on and explain that, and we'll pick that up next week. But I really want to encourage you. I challenge you to take verse 21 through 31 and really go over it, really understand it, really look at it, highlight it, and then go use it into the world you live, to the places you go. And every one of us go places. It doesn't matter if you're retired or not. You go to the store. You go to different areas. You go places. You can share Christ with people very easily. Bring it down to the relationship. From there, the relationship then could be expanded about what is your connection? What is your relationship? And it's very simple. These verses are the best I know of to be able to share Christ with the world that needs them so desperately. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the truth. And God, I pray as we study it together, we realize the importance of it. And Father, this truth is not new. We know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. And we know that your son died and is the only one who could pay the price for the remission of their sins. But God, we're living in a day and age where we need to be able to speak it. We need to be able to share it in a way that people who don't even understand anything can can understand this. God, we pray that you'll give us the opportunities. Pray that we'll take those opportunities. And Father, I pray that you will be glorified because of it. God, we just thank you in your Son's name. Amen.